Okay, it's 9 o'clock by my watch. It's a little bit early by that one, but we'll go ahead and get started. This is the Thursday, July 31st, regular session of the Upshur County Commissioners Court. We're going to start this morning with a few minutes of silence, and then we will stand for our pledges. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Item one on the agenda is public comment, and the court would invite anyone who would like to speak to the public, speak to the court, to come up at this time. We'll move on to item two, which is to consider and take action on the following: accept for recording all payroll changes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion and a second to accept the payroll changes. Those in favor?
Aye.
That motion was by Commissioner Crittenden, second by Commissioner Campbell. It's approved. Item B is the payroll. Ferguson. Sorry.
Motion approved.
Second.
The motion to approve that is by Commissioner Campbell, seconded by Commissioner Crabtree. Those in favor of approving payroll?
Aye.
Payroll is approved. Item C are the budget amendments.
Move to approve.
Second.
There's a motion by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Ferguson, to approve the budget amendments. Those in favor?
Aye.
Budget amendments are approved. Item D are the accounts payable.
Judge, on page one, department report, list 409 here. I got a question as to why we're reimbursing for postage when we've got postage machines throughout the county. There's two departments that have done this.
Sometimes they have to send packages. Like he had to send one in a lawsuit, and therefore they take them, they weigh them, they send them certified and everything. Now they can use the machines at times, but when you're trying to meet a deadline, sometimes it's better to go and pay for it and then ask for reimbursement on that. So, and our emergency management person has sent stuff out all the time, and he has to charge over here for it. run the ticket through. But like I said, a lot of offices are in a hurry, or there's a timeline, and they just take it, pay for it out of their pocket, and we reimburse them. And he okays it. We've done it a lot of times. We've done it for years.
You're asking about the 190 and it was a package that was about that big.
It was a couple of them on here. I had a question about is why we were using outside postage when we had the machine in there. So.
Well, that's the reason.
So it's not something that we
don't do it all the time. No, but it's a whole lot easier when you have to have it.
Okay. And on page 4, under elections, we just now planned for Pritchett. So, same right there. It says for a general election in 07.
If we didn't have the bill, we couldn't pay it. So we just didn't bought it.
Does that bring us up to date on all the...
I don't know. I'd have to get this accounting card and ask and see if we are up to date. That's one of those things.
Craig, are you aware of that one page yet?
I know that I've been, but that's, we're talking about two different things. Our the one that I've been trying to get paid was the primary, which was the party's responsibility. This, when the county's paying it, this is for the general election of
07.
And I don't know what was there. What did we, were we constitutional amendment election?
Is that amendments?
Yeah, we had a constitutional amendment election. So the county's paying for that one.
Okay, and that should bring us up to date on that also. On that particular.
Again, Mr. Pittman, I'd have to get the county clerk, or you get the county clerk, because I don't know. I haven't researched that, and I know no one in my office has, because, when it's presented to us, then that's when we look to see or something if it's been paid or not been paid. Other than that, we wait till the county clerk sends everything in, and that's when we pay it.
So it's the county clerk's position to make sure that these things stay as far as possible.
It usually comes through.
Because this is almost a year out here.
They may have not put it on their sheets, the long sheet that we have for elections. If they didn't put it out there, and didn't get caught, because there's so much going on through election time, and then they didn't think about it, and obviously they might not have, since it's a long time, so now they're asking for it, and we do leave it, and she sent it down, and she said it hadn't been paid.
I think we should have paid it in a more timely fashion, and it's not...
Well, if we didn't have it, we don't pay until we actually get any bill. We don't pay anything until we actually have the bill in front of us.
Motion to approve the counts.
Second. Go ahead. Did you want to say something else?
I also have something that has to be on our debt service. And usually, this is what I asked for last time. I didn't have it in writing. This time it's on the certificates of obligations. The interest is owed, and it's on the 97 series. It's $27,550. It has to be wired on the 15th of August. That's the next pay period. But I'd like to do it on the 14th to make sure that they have enough time to get everything done. And if you wouldn't mind, sign off on that so I can do it the 14th of August.
Is that part of your motion?
I'll include that in my motion.
All right.
Thank you.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, seconded by Commissioner Ferguson to approve accounts payable. Those in favor? The accounts payable are approved.
Anyway, that's going to be the bill. And I'll leave that back.
Item 8. Thank you, Myra. You sound pretty good.
I'm doing better.
Okay. It's good to have you here. Item E is to accept for recording various Commissioner Court documents, including but not limited to the following: auditor's report, interagency agreement between Upshur County and Smith County, with reference to the East Texas Auto Task Force, bonds, oaths, deputations, and other certificates.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, second by Commissioner Campbell. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item F are the applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Campbell and Ferguson, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden. Those in favor?
Aye.
The applications for use of Upshur County roads and rights of way are also approved. Item G is to accept for recording the monthly report of the state and county tax summary.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Campbell to approve the recording of that document. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 3 is to discuss and take action to approve Title 4E Legal Services Contract and the Title 4E Child Welfare Services Contract with the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. These are juvenile contracts that have to do with services that are provided through CPS and gives us some reimbursement and some responsibility that it's an annual thing that we take care of every year.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, seconded by Commissioner Crittenden to approve those Title 4E contracts. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item 4 is to discuss and take action to approve the appointment of William O'Dowd to the County Extension Agent Family Consumer Sciences position. We have Dr. Ramona Kellum with us this morning to answer any questions y'all may have.
County agent position in your family and consumer sciences. Mr. O'Dowd is a native Texan. He grew up in Johnson County in a little town called Gotham, Texas. He grew up on a dairy farm. That was his job growing up, and then his first job out of high school. He didn't go initially to college, so he worked there. And then, of course, the dairy business took a turn for the worse, and so he decided to go to college. And in college, he went to Tarleton. He studied child and family studies. He just graduated in May. He worked his way through school, worked in the oil field, driving a tanker truck, and worked in sales, selling cell phones and pagers. And now he has his degree, and he's looking for exercise the knowledge that he's learned. And so with his experience, and I've checked his references and background, and everybody I've talked to just raves about it. And so we are, with your approval, want to bring him on as a county extension agent. We think that he'll do a good job. He'll be responsive to the clientele here. I think also that he'll be an asset to our total district program, bringing some diversity to our program. And I think he'll do a good job. With your approval, we'd like to bring Joy on with extension August the 15th. We have the First Step program where they work the first 30 days with extension, observing in another county, and then hopefully come to the county here September the 16th. We say the 15th, but we have a big meeting that we're having in Overton for all of our district agents, so he would be in Overton on the 15th to be in the county on the 16th. So we have questions, and Mr. Joey O'Dowd is right here. So if you have questions, we're here to answer any of your questions.
Well, Mr. O'Dowd, I guess I'll start off with questions. How are you going to fill in a position where you have to go out and attend the quilting parties or some some ladies' function for it?
It'll be a new experience. We're looking forward to working with the community in every way possible.
That won't be a problem for
us.
No, okay.
I've been to quite a few of those with my grandmother and my mother. I've been there before. I've seen it go down. It's interesting.
Something new. Okay. And you just graduated in May, I believe, Ms. Cullum said?
Yes, sir.
So this will be your first experience at County Extension?
Yes, sir. This will be my first professional job in an extension service.
Okay.
Yep, the added value that we get with Mr. O'Dowd, of course, you know, both of our agents work for 4-H program. So he's had experience with animals. I mean, on the dairy farm, he was in charge of the vaccination program and the nutrition program. So certainly he'll be an asset to our 4-H program when it comes to dealing with some of the animal issues as well. Both of our agents are expected to work in that area, but in addition to the SDS, he's an asset with the other side of it too, in terms of nutrition and vaccination programs.
Do you think you possibly might be interested in working up to the other position that's available here?
It'd be a good goal. I've done 4-H and FFA and managed in their area for 4 years, so it's not a lot of, I've got experience in a lot of that field, so, and I enjoy it.
Any reason that you applied for this position, not the other position?
The main reason was that it's my background in college. It's what I studied. I didn't take any agriculture classes through university. And I've got a desire to help the community. I was started out in a teaching program and then switched to human sciences. So I want to try to utilize my degree as much as possible, but I have no adversities to using the knowledge I've gained in the dairy industry.
Okay. I like what I hear and what I see.
And Dr. Kellum, we'll probably have an extension agent, an ag extension agent, sometime maybe the middle of August or our middle of August meeting or
yes,
last.
I'll be back next month. We did interview for an ag agent. What we do in the extension service is we announce our vacancies internally first. And we did have three internal applicants. And the first applicant turned us down. We just couldn't pay him enough, I guess, to move. The second applicant told us he was only going to be here 2 years, and then he was looking at a job in commerce. So we're trying to bring some stability to the program, so we didn't really want someone that was very honest with us to tell us that they only were looking to stay 2 years because they want to move toward Greenville area. And the third applicant, we just thought we need to look at them again in a larger pool. So what we're going to do is open that position up externally, so that our external applicants can apply, and then we do have some interest. I've had calls from people that are local as well as others. So that position will be announced within a week, and then after that week, we'll set up interview dates for the people that are interested in there, bring them back up here, and see which one we think would be the best fit.
You understand that they work in-house for 1 month before they go on regular payroll?
This is true. It's a new, you know, we did away with our assistant agent positions several years ago, and that was really a training position. But that really created a lot of turnover. You know, people coming and staying a couple of years and then moving on. We're trying to bring in stability, so they eliminated that. But what we have put in place of that is what we call First Step. And the First Step program is anybody that's new, not internal, we send them to a county to observe. In another county that's similar to this county, that they're well, similar to the county that they'll be hired into. And that's where they learn how we do things in extension and how to be responsive and conduct programs. And extension picks up the full salary as well as the travel during that first 30 days. At no cost to the county.
And one of my greatest concerns during the interview process and as I worked with Dr. Kellum was that we have some stability downstairs in the extension office, and Mr. O'Dowd has assured us that he intends to make this a career here in Upshur County, and I'd just like us to keep some extension agents for a while, somebody that we can all work with.
Okay. I'm understanding that we don't have a single agent here at the moment. Neither Matt or I was aware of the Ryan Hill was no longer here.
Yeah, that's correct.
January, I thought.
January.
My only concern is with our budget, new budget coming this year, my motion will be to accept Mr. Adal as the appointee with the exception of waiting October the 1st, the new budget, for full payroll, which is to give him September the 1st to come on board and work in-house for 1 month.
I understand, we still have money left over in the budget from the two previous employees. Is that not correct?
No.
Is there still money there?
There's still some money there, yes.
Enough to pay two weeks' salary to one agent?
Yes.
I guess what the thing that comes across my mind is we haven't interviewed him, and I don't know how that process works. I don't know if traditionally the commissioner's court just hires at the recommendation of the extension office or not, but you know, we've always interviewed somebody before we hired them for anything that since I've been here, and I don't know what I would ask you, but this is not the place for an interview with you, you know, and it's not on the agenda, so we can't do that today. But,
I'm not suggesting what to do, but for just for your information, in the past, the candidates have been presented to the court as hired as counsel.
But then, Judge Fowler was present at the interview, mm-hmm. and certainly anytime we have the interviews, the commissioners are certainly welcome to sit in. And I did make contact. I tried to talk to each commissioner before we today. I left the message, mm-hmm. and I think I got 2 responses. And so I figured if I didn't hear from him, there wouldn't be any problem. So I don't know if you want to. There are any issues, but we did want to address.
You told me this morning there was. Okay.
I'll revise my motion then. We bring it down on the board August 15th.
Second.
Yes.
Right.
In the county.
So he wouldn't be here till 16th.
Well, technically, we can get the 16th.
Well, he'd have to be appointed by a county before he. Basically, he would be eligible to go through the training.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, he comes on our payroll in August, on September the 16th.
Yes.
Okay. So the motion by Commissioner Campbell is to approve the appointment of William O'Dowd as the County Extension Agent for Family Consumer Sciences. And was there a second?
I did.
Second by Commissioner Ferguson. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved.
Thank you very much.
Welcome aboard. Item 5 is to discuss and take action to approve the election judges and alternate election judges for the term beginning August 1, 2008.
Judge, I got some concerns on part of the list here. My understanding that today the county clerk and Ms. Shelton, which is the employee of her office, are in Austin at election training school. And on the judges list here, we've got precinct 18. Ms. Shelton is supposed to work as an election judge. I don't see how she can be in two places at one time if it's intended for her to work the elections through the clerk's office.
Okay.
So at this time, I'd like to recommend to the party chair that we strike her name from this list and look for somebody else to serve in that capacity.
Ms. Shelton is the precinct chair and has served previously in precinct, I believe it's
18.
She has not expressed to me her wish not to serve as the election judge.
Right, the list, and I do believe the list can be supplemented up to 20 days prior to the election if there needs to be a change.
Right, but I'm not voting for her one way or the other, how she wants to resolve that conflict.
What, is that not correct that she cannot serve in this capacity here if she's going to work the election also?
Obviously, she can't work
the okay. So once you talk to her, we can resolve that problem.
Right, and we can supplement that.
And like I say, I don't know if she's supposed to work in elections. All I know is she's at that meeting, so I'm just assuming that she's being trained to work the elections.
Yeah.
And then box 10, 10, and 11, we still have 2 judges on there that if those boxes were intended to be combined.
Yeah, and there's still a question as to whether or not, and the county clerk is trying to get some clarification while she's in Austin at this school and these meetings.
Okay.
As to whether or not our actions were actually something we could do. And so I think that's why both parties went ahead and appointed someone in 10 and 11. If actually the action we took is valid, then I guess the judge for box 11 would probably drop out.
10, Judge.
I mean 10. Sorry.
The judges.
But again, both lists can be supplemented. All the lists can be supplemented up to 20 days prior to the election.
Do you know what the clerk's question on not combining those boxes was, or what?
No, the first I heard about that was Monday, and she was already gone, so I don't know.
It's my understanding that that can only be done in certain years, and this is not one of those years, with the exception of if the structure is not accommodating, and I believe Ms. Ferguson stated that it's not heated and cool, and it could be real cold out there on that particular morning, that particular day.
I agree with that. I mean, I think they can be combined but not consolidated.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then we would still need to submit to you precincts for an election judge for each precinct. And if we need to consolidate, we would choose one from that list for that consolidation.
So you have representative from box 10 and from 11 at that location, is what you're saying?
You wouldn't necessarily have to. For Chairman Idle and I, each day the list for 10 and 11, you would pick one from each party from that, those two lists.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crabtree, second by Commissioner Crittenden to approve the list submitted by the parties. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those are approved. Item 6 is to discuss and take action to adopt the Upshur County Tax Abatement Policy. Jonathan Packer with our Economic Development group is here today. I can explain to y'all briefly what action that probably needs to be taken. As we begin to have some people, industries look at Upshur County, they are probably going to ask for some tax abatements. The first step is for us to have a tax abatement policy. This policy then will allow us at some point in the future to create what are called reinvestment zones. And after those reinvestment zones are created, at that point, we can actually offer a tax abatement. But the first step in that three-step process is for us to actually have an abatement policy in place. And this one was as simple as I could make it, and still meet the law. So I was going to ask the court to approve this policy, and then if we ever have anybody in front of us, and we may have someone in front of us very shortly, so if we have anybody in front of us, we will have our policy in place.
Motion to adopt the abatement policy.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Crittenden, second by Commissioner Crabtree to approve the Upshur County Tax Abatement Policy. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Item 7 is to discuss and take action to declare an emergency budget amendment to pay IRS assessment and imposition of additional taxes and penalties. After we were audited by the Internal Revenue Service, they came to us and said that some things we hadn't done exactly right, and that we owed some additional taxes, and they're going to hit us with some penalties. And so this being a required payment and not a budgeted item, I'm suggesting that we declare an emergency budget amendment, pay this out of reserves. The amount is $24,310.
Judge. Yeah.
Myra's worked, Ms. Harris has worked on it very hard, and there's some steps that we can take to recoup part of this money, and that's what the treasurer's working on now. But bottom line is the IRS is at the door, and they want it now, and then we'll just have to take whatever steps we can in the future to try to recoup some of these penalties and interest and taxes. This is a common mistake made by many people in business and government. It's the first time they've been looking at counties.
I'll move to approve.
Questions?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Harrison, I understand about the cell phones and the uniforms and the travel expenses and so on and so forth that we discussed earlier in court. But my question is, who and how could it have been overlooked pertaining to the worker reclassification here of Judge Parrish here? And by no means is this any problem of hers or whatever, but it says that for her duties on the CSCD board, those wages weren't considered, those pipeline payments weren't considered as wages. What happened? We overlooked something like that.
Because when that first came out, every county was paying them through the council payable. Now, county judges, supplemental off of that, is through payable. She's just, she and I talked about that, and she went on the council payable. She gets a 1099. The only portion that is the taxable part that we owe the matching part. And this came down to every county. It's on our reserves, it's on the auditors, and there's a huge amount of counties that come across this. I believe Ms. Parrish, Judge Parrish, came to her, our assistant clerical auditor, and he and her talked to me about it, and we did put her on. She's been on. This is the correct, this in the past, because she is not a county employee or anything. She is paid by the state. We considered that like a contract service. She did get a 1099. We're just correcting the part that the IRS is needing to
pay. So this was this is nothing for just the previous year. This has been ongoing, but you all have just called
it whatever the IRS called. It's been gone for a while, but I don't know. She just looked at 2006. That's the year she audited for us. So, and I haven't talked to this director.
Okay.
But to correct everything, we're just like every county. Every county is having to do this because none of them are doing it. They're paying on 1099.
And of this 24,000 here, do you know how much of this is actually from Judge Parrish's second or salary?
I don't have it in front of me to tell you this is not going to be huge. But there, you know, there's Paulus, and she was very, she could have really gone and put a little bit more, put more teeth into it, but she was very good and worked very well with Mr. Smith and me and my office on it. And I consider that to be a minimum amount, considering that some of it paid. I mean, it's not exclusive that my dad. We have 6,196 figures. 6,196 figures on our bench budget. And if you put up with who's incorporated, you can change your income. So, but if you need anything else, you come down and talk to me. Please not today.
Any other questions?
Thank you, sir.
Motion by Commissioner Ferguson, second by Commissioner Campbell to approve the emergency budget amendment and pay the Internal Revenue Service. Those in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Yeah, but it's a long paper trail process that may be a while. Okay, item 8 is to update, discuss, and report on appraised values, the county budget, and the effective rate. I will let everyone know that the proposed budget is has been given to the commissioners and filed with the county clerk's office. The estimates of revenue and expenses, and as every year in the last, this is my sixth budget, and so I've tried to be very careful. I will say that what we have accomplished in the past five budgets is we've taken our reserve account from a little less than $2 million to over $4.5 million. That's what I like to call our savings account. We have about $4.5 million in our savings account. The reason I'm telling you that is because this past year, as we calculated our revenue based upon our valuations from the appraisal district and our effective tax rate, this is for last year, part of the calculations were incorrect due to information that we had received from the comptroller's office, and it didn't affect us last year, but it has significantly affected our effective rate this next year. So the proposed budget is about $44,000. It's not about, it's $44,000 more than it was last year. It's basically the same budget that we had last year. It's a $16 million budget. So $44,000 is, while that's not an insignificant amount of money, when you're comparing it to $16 million, it's fairly insignificant. I'm comfortable with saying the budget is basically the same. But even though we basically have the same budget we had last year, if we set the effective tax rate, which allows us to raise the same amount of money that we raised last year, the numbers come out with a $678,000 shortfall. Now, I've watched the budget, and I've learned a lot of things while I've worked on it, and what I'm presenting today is the worst-case scenario. This is worst-case. If we adopted the budget the way it's proposed without any changes, and there may certainly be some changes in a later meeting, but if we adopt the budget the way it is and we set the effective tax rate, we would be $678,000 short. Worst case scenario. Well, my recommendation to the Commissioner's Court will be, or is today, is that we spend that $678,000 out of reserves. That's what we've saved that money for. It's for a rainy day, for when something like this happened. Every person in this room, every person out there that pays taxes, feels it every day when they go to the gas pump and to the grocery store. And they know what it's like. And this is simply not the year to be raising taxes. This court has never raised taxes. Taxes have always been set at or below the effective rate. Really, in the last 6 years, the tax rate, the actual tax has gone down about 6%. And even though we're going to have a shortfall this year, this is not the year to be raising taxes, I don't think.
I agree.
But the reason we have to talk about this today is that if there's any inclination that we may want to raise taxes, we kick into a required by statute that we begin giving certain notices, and we have some extra meetings. And so I've got to know today, and if we want to raise taxes, we've got to take a record vote so that I can get some publications in the newspaper. But my recommendation is to spend that money out of reserves. My best guess is that we'll still have better than $4 million next year, even after we've taken this hit. And we're still financially going to be in much better shape than most counties. And then next year, we see where we are. We just see where we are next year and see what we have to do about taxes next year. That's what I've got to say.
So your figures that you quoted are based on what the proposed rate is here, right?
What the effective rate is.
What is our effective rate?
The effective rate is 0.4177.
No.
It's 0.417692, but it's 0.4177.
Well, what is this effective rate here that's showing is 0.460233?
That rate is from, that's the rollback rate. That's the.
I'm not sure where you're looking at. If you're looking at it on the page, it's before you take sales tax adjustment out.
But they're looking at Mr. Smith's. They're looking at the auditor's.
Now, does this have M&O on it?
It's got M&O and INS.
Okay.
No meaning? Okay. Extra stuff?
I just did a real fast spreadsheet here.
Okay. Yeah, we were getting these numbers together basically yesterday afternoon, trying to get this finished up.
So these aren't any, these
those,
aren't
fixed. Yeah, those don't have any meaning.
No rate inside of the
meeting. Effective rate is you have to raise the same amount of revenue last year, correct?
Correct.
And you said it was 0.4177.
Yeah, and it was 4.4 last year.
Right. Last year we were 0.4499. That was the tax rate last year.
0.4499. So that's where it says proposed right here.
Values go up. And the gas exploration in this county, this has been the foremost thing on my mind over the last week anyway. I'm pretty comfortable that gas exploration in this county is going to continue and that we're going to see increased values, new values next year, which do not have any effect on our effective tax rate. Again, I have to present it to y'all. I mean, I've got to do what I think, what I really believe is right, and that's to give y'all the worst case scenario. I think this is worst case. I don't think that we'll spend $680,000 out of our reserves. I don't think we will. We may spend $400,000. May spend $500,000. But even if we do, our reserve account is still it still meets what general accounting principles for what our reserves need to be. And I really believe that's what the reserves are there for. I mean, there would come a day that when I would think we'd need to spend some of that money anyway, because it's not right to continue to tax people while we're sitting around with a big nest egg. And so I'd rather spend some of it now, see where we are next year, because I can't make any promises about next year. I mean, taxes may have to do something next year, but they don't this year.
Well, I think we was looking at keeping that nest egg in there for the buildings in the county here. We're in pretty good shape on our buildings with the exception of having to redo this one on the inside. But we could, it's still accommodating whatever. We've solved the leaking problem, so we could. And I think that's where the majority of the reserve, we were looking at using that to remodeling here.
Yeah.
And so what would it do to us if we just held the tax rate at what it was last year?
Okay.
Would we have to take
it? It would make us basically, we would be about $86,000 short as compared to the $678,000. And that was my first inclination. Just set the tax rate at what we set it at last year. But if we do that, we've got to kick into these notice provisions that we've got to start taking care of, and so that.
Okay. So what if we close the gap between what you proposed for this year as opposed to what the effective rate is for last year?
Anything over the effective rate, we have to give all the notices because that's going up on taxes.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about going over the effective rate.
Oh.
Staying under the current effective rate, but being a little higher than what your proposed rate is for this year. In other words, staying under the 0.4499, but increasing the 0.4177 is what you proposed.
Okay, yeah, right. I understand what you're asking. Any tax rate set above 0.4177, notices have to be sent. Because under the way that the formula had to be done this year, and again, I'm going to say that the rules really were changed on us in the middle of the game. by the comptroller. So, but under the rules this year, if we set any rate above 0.4177, we have to start giving the notices. And those are all both very, they're both very reasonable questions, and they're very good alternatives. But I'm going to say that if we're going to set anything above the effective rate, that we just go ahead with our current rate, and we take the tax increase all in 1 year. Yes, ma'am.
And, that's the loan on the pension notice, but our debt service, the one I was talking about a while ago, is paid off in 2010. So that's on the next budget. So what you may be spending, you're going to make up within another year.
Okay. We have to give that back, though.
Right. We
we can't.
Well, Commissioner Crabtree's statement is that we have to give that back, and that's true. But what it does to the tax rate is it's going to lower the tax rate by about 2 cents when those debts are paid. Mm-hmm. The tax rate will by requirement go down 2 cents.
But that's at INS.
But that's at INS.
Yeah.
Not maintenance and operations. That's correct. It would be a 7% tax increase.
I think we should go in the reserve and do what you recommended, Judge. Because that's what we want. The hard cave.
I agree. I think we need to set the effective tax rate.
Reserves, and that's fine. Have you, looking at what we've got here, the information we've got, I don't see where any raises, with the exception of certain departments have requested raises, but are we going to be able to give raises to the employees this year based on what you're proposing?
No.
And I think we need to give a cost of living raise, you know, something small. You know. Otherwise, we're going to be in a situation of playing catch-up at some point in the future. And that's going to hurt. It's going to be more of a chunk of change then than it would be if we just factored in a small raise all along.
Well, with the, I understand that reasoning, but I will say that we've had raises the last 2 years, and I know this has been a tough year on everybody, but considering what the way the numbers have worked this year, I mean, I can calculate raises and I can tell y'all how it will work, what it will do to the budget, but I'm not going to be comfortable giving raises without asking to raise taxes. I mean, any raise, any meaningful raise means about $180,000. And the other thing that we've always got to keep in mind is that any time we give a raise, it's a fixed cost that affects us forever. A raise we have to pay for next year and the next year, we have to pay for forever. And already with the budget out of whack the way it is this year, with us spending reserves, and the fact that the employees have gotten raises the last 2 years, I don't think this is going to be the year to do it.
I know there's a bunch of them out there. Of course, I understand the whole economy is hurting right now. But, you know, if we could give a raise without having to increase the tax base, you know, I'm not for raising taxes to hand out a raise.
We're going to try to do it on budget here, don't
you? Yeah.
That's really not all. I see what you're saying.
Are we going to go over any of this today?
No. What I needed to know today is if there was going to be any proposal for us to increase taxes. And the word I'm hearing is that no. Is that right? All right. Now that item won't even require a vote. We will have a meeting. We may have a meeting as early as August the 15th. If we're not going to propose any kind of tax increase, we're going to look at the effective rate. Then we can look at the budget on August 15th.
So you're saying as it stands right now today with the way that we're going to vote here in just a minute, we will not be able to give any raises from this point forward?
We could give raises, but we would either have to raise taxes or spend more of our reserves.
But would we be able to do it per what the law says, whatever, in filing those?
Only if we spend the money out of reserves. Today's the day. If we're going to increase taxes, today's the day we've got to vote for the proposal to raise taxes. Doesn't mean we're voting to raise them. It means we've got to start giving the notices to raise taxes.
Then that would leave the door open if we voted that way there, and we would have to exercise that right, right?
Well, you're going to have to vote for a specific percentage tax increase so I can give a notice in the paper.
Right. So the notice is up start.
And it's a record vote. You'll have to vote individually, and it's got to be noted in the paper that way.
And in order to give the raise that you were talking about, which would amount to roughly $180,000, what percentage would we have to consider?
You said the full $499 was still $6,800 short?
$68,000, I mean.
$86,000. So you're going to have to go to $46,000.
What I said earlier is that if you're going to raise taxes, then it'd be better to do it. It's better to do it all at one time. I understand our employees. Their loaf of bread costs more, just like everybody else's. I understand that, but the employees went for several years without any raises in this county, and over the past. This is my sixth budget. In six budgets, we've had three raises, and so I don't want the county employees to think I don't feel for them, but I feel for the taxpayers too, and we've done it three times in the last 6 years. We've gotten raises in the last 6 years. I don't think we can do it this year.
Well, I don't either. I definitely agree. The taxpayers, that's the worst thing we can do to them right at the present. So a lot of valuation went up. I mean, yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be increasing our taxes, though, if we held it where it's at right now. If we were where it is now or less of it, right?
If we set the tax rate at what it is now?
Right.
Yes. The the notice would have to be a 7% tax increase.
What's the rollback rate?
The rollback rate is about 0.4609, if I remember. Or four, about maybe four, well, it's right here. The rollback rate is 0.4610.
4610.
I was off 1,000th of a point. It's 0.4610. What you're doing is you're bumping up against the rollback rate.
It would take that to give a substantial raise anyway. I mean, if we just come in just under that, we would just barely be given a raise.
I understand, but I just know how hard it's been the last couple of years to, like the judge has said here, to give a raise. And those two times we're playing catch up to get them where they're at now, and they're still below scale in a lot of areas. But by no means am I for raising taxes. But if there's any way possible that we could look at giving the employees a raise without raising taxes, that's what I'd be for. And I'm not looking at any accurate figures here, so I
think we got to cut $200,000 off of that budget. And I don't, realistically, that's
not likely to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to, that's going to be almost impossible to do. Well, I say almost impossible. I'm going to say I don't know how to do it. We could go further into reserves for that. But again, it's a fixed cost that is with you forever. And our budget is to the point now that it's pretty fixed. I mean, it's taken 6 years to get it where it is, but it's cut pretty close to the bone. So, is there going to be any vote to propose a tax increase?
Not I.
Not I.
Not me.
I feel for the employees that know they need one. I'll be the first to say that.
I'm not going to raise taxes.
But we also got taxpayers out there that's on Social Security, and they're hurting. I'm sorry.
There's some recommendations from our insurance man to change our deductibles, and we'll have to consider that. The line items, the insurance fund, the funding in insurance is going to remain the same this year. Are y'all going to have enough time by August the 15th to have looked through the proposed budget and with y'all's concerns and take it up on the 15th?
To adopt it? Adopt a budget, set a tax rate?
Yeah. Okay. And if y'all aren't, then we'll pass it off to the next meeting. But I'm going to go ahead and give notices for the 15th. Okay? All right. So we're looking at an effective tax rate, no tax increases for the county. And we will take all that up on August 15th.
Motion to adjourn.
Yes. Motion to adjourn. Those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.